In 1975, a makeshift museum opened on a farm in the Maniatoto region of central Otago. The main feature of this new attraction was the nearly 300 high-end fashion garments on display in an old tractor shed, amassed by a successful but quietly spoken high country farmer, J. Eden Hoare. The collection has been called one of the most significant of its kind in Australasia. Central Otago, the Eden Hoare Collection is a new publication by dress historian and curator Jane Malthus and senior curator of New Zealand culture and history at Te Papa and fashion historian Claire Reno, featuring photography by renowned photographer Derek Henderson in association with Te Papa Press. The book had its official launch party at Melanie Roger Gallery earlier this week, where prints of Henderson's photography of the Eden Hoare collection are being exhibited until the 17th of April. I caught up with Jane Malthus and Derek Henderson about the history of the Hoare collection and the making of the book.
So Eden Hoare was a farmer in central Otago. He farmed up behind Naseby, and he got interested in women's high fashion in the 1960s and 70s, partly because he had an involvement with the Miss New Zealand shows. It's a very long and complicated story. But he ended up collecting fashion from about 1970 onwards in order to bring tourists to the Naseby area. That was his main kind of reason for doing it. He set up a kind of museum. So he has collected high fashion from New Zealand designers like Vinka Lucas, Kevin Buchan, people we've forgotten about, really. And so it's fantastic that this collection exists now, and it's now owned by the Central Otago District Council.
I think what's so appealing and intriguing about the collection to me is that Hoare's love for fashion kind of destroys the stereotype of like a typical farmer, which in a way is kind of inspirational, particularly considering like the social environment and landscape of the time. Jane, you've been involved in the Eden Hoare collection since the 1980s, but what drew the both of you to embarking on this project? How did this project kind of come about?
Well, it was partly because the Central Otago District Council, having bought it, thought, what on earth are we going to do with it? And they set up a steering committee, which I'm on. That steering committee came up with various ideas about what we could do, and a book was always one of them. But it took us a while to kind of, you know, get that to happen.
I was really interested in any project that comes up in New Zealand, and especially Central Otago. And when I saw the flat lays of the clothes, I went, yeah, I'm going to do this. It's going to be amazing.
And the book tells this incredible story of Hoare's string of eccentric and memorable obsessions, from, as you said before, Miss New Zealand shows to a menagerie of animals. Where did his fascination with fashion come from, or what kind of inspired his habit of collecting?
There were a number of influences, I think. One of them was a housekeeper that he had after he... After his marriage ended, he hired this young woman who had trained as a model and was interested in fashion, so that was one thing. The other thing was the Miss New Zealand shows. He got involved with those because he became a driver for John Hoare Grinnell and took him to all his gigs, including the Miss New Zealand shows. So he met designers. He saw the high evening fashion that the contestants were wearing as part of the show. He got interested in some of those clothes because they were made from wool, which his farm was producing. And subsequently he got interested in what was happening to the skins from the animals from his farm as well. So wool and skin are a big part of the collection. So it was a number of threads coming together that meant that when he thought about how do I get tourists to come back here, fashion was part of that mix.
The collection is made up of nearly 300 garments, shoes, hats and other accessories. What can be said about Hoare's personal taste and clothes? You kind of spoke to a little bit of like the interest with the farm and fashion crossover, which I think is so interesting. But were there any other kind of themes in the collection that unified the garments?
He had very clear idea that he wanted to collect what he called high and exotic fashion. So I helped curate an exhibition of the clothes in 1989, and those were the words that he wanted us to use. We called it One Man's Fantasy, and and he wanted high and exotic fashion in there. So that was his... They were really eye-catching clothes, and that's what he wanted, really. Mm. He wanted people to be able to come and see that kind of fashion in the middle of nowhere. Margaret Farry, who ran a modelling agency but also had a shop in Dunedin called Vanity Walk, told me a story about him coming into her shop. He would walk around, he would say, I want to see this one and this one on a model, and sometimes that was Elma, his housekeeper, who came with him. Sometimes it would be a shop model. And so the models would wear them, he would evaluate them, and then he would say, right, I'll buy them all. So, yeah, sometimes he did that. He also met other designers and bought directly from them. Mm. He went to a show that Kevin Bacan had in Sydney to do with the opening of the Sydney Opera House, and he bought Kevin's entire collection from that show. So, yeah, he was very clear about what he wanted and fairly kind of direct in terms of what he bought and how he bought it.
And, of course, the book is accompanied by beautiful photography of the collection taken by you, Derek. The series has been photographed very fittingly in central Otago landscapes, where the whole collection, of course, was based. How did you source locations, and why was photographing these pieces in this area so important, do you think?
Well, we did what we call a location scout recce. So we sort of planned where we were going to shoot first. There were so many garments that I didn't really try and go, okay, this garment goes there, because there were too many, and it was like a 2-week shoot. You know, we were shooting, I think, 10 to 12 garments a day. And obviously, you know, the landscape where Eden Hoare sort of, you know, we sort of had to shoot, well, didn't have to shoot there, but it was very important to shoot there because that's where the collection was. And it wasn't just about the clothes, it was about how he wanted to bring people to that area. So it sort of made sense, and it sort of, you know, you're doing central Otago a kind of favor by doing it there. And the landscape is incredible, and you know, the juxtaposition of this high-end sort of exotic fashion in that environment, you know, you're always going to get an amazing sort of result. So it just came together like that, really.
Totally. And were there any challenges that kind of presented themselves in working in such a remote location?
Not for me, because I use pretty minimal amount of equipment when I shoot. I'm just trying to use the available light. Probably for everybody else, Jane could probably go into that more, because, you know, the conservation of the outfits is very important. So they obviously had to be protected. The one thing I wanted to do was give them some life where I could. So I didn't want the models necessarily to just be standing there looking lifeless. I wanted them to sort of wear the garments as if they were, you know, just they put them on to wear them, not to be photographed. So in a lot of the pictures you can see them walking and moving around. So, but obviously some we couldn't do that because they're quite delicate.
For sure. And tell me a bit about the models that you worked with on this show. What was your process for choosing them for this project?
So for me, the models are really just as important, if not the most important thing in a shoot, because they bring the life to it. They're the only ones that can do that. So for me, I'm always looking for talent that they have strong personalities, because it does come out in the photos. It doesn't, you know, they're obviously incredibly physically beautiful. I mean, that's one thing. But if they don't have like a personality or a spark in their eye, it can get really boring really fast for everyone concerned. So, you know, I look for talent that I've worked with before that I know have that. And obviously there's things to consider, like sizing was important for this because some of the outfits were quite small. But your personality is a really big thing. And, you know, you have to spend 2 weeks with them a week. So you don't want to be spending that with someone that's annoying, you know. So, no, you know, you take into consideration those things. Nahuia Williams, Alana Quant, and Hannah Clark. Hannah was the first one we used on the first project. She came over from Sydney, but I'd actually worked with her in Auckland before, and I thought she was amazing, and she was keen to do it. So, and then Alana and Nahuia came into the second part of the shoot.
And I think there's something so significant about seeing the clothes on the models again, because, you know, this is a collection that has been known to be exhibited. It's not a worn collection, and so it's so cool to see that. And with Hoare not having worn the clothes themselves, it kind of brings a new life to the collection. Was this kind of the intention, to bring the collection back to life?
Yes, it was. In fact, when Eden owned it, he really liked people to try it on. So that was one of the things you could do in the early days when it was in the tractor shed, was try things on. Sometimes even hired clothes out, because these were, you know, at the time, new clothes, and his to do what he liked with. We persuaded him when we went there in the late 1980s that maybe stopping the being worn all the time would be a good idea if he wanted to keep them for the future. But it's great for us now to be able to bring them back to life, you know, on models, because they just look amazing when they're animated. Yeah, we had a lot of fun doing that.
And Jane, the Eden and Dunedin exhibition you've curated has just opened at Toitū Otago Settlers Museum, exhibiting the highlights of the collection. What can this book and the stories within it offer that this exhibition cannot?
I think the book tells the background story. It tells the story of Eden himself, in all of his difference, shall we say. And it has a chapter about the way in which fabrics and designers kind of worked back in the 70s, which is very different to how things operate now. There were tariffs back then, that word that we now know a lot of. And there are chapters about some of the garments he's got that have won prizes in various competitions, the Australian Gown of the Year, for instance, the Benson and Hedges Fashion Awards, other competitions as well. And there's a chapter about the wool and the skin garments and how they came into the collection, who designed them.
And the Eden Hoare collection is one of Aotearoa's most significant collections of New Zealand fashion in the 1970s and 80s. Why do you think it's so important to spotlight and explore this piece of our history?
I think because we have kind of forgotten it. You know, when writers, journalists talk about New Zealand fashion as a thing, they start with the 1999 London Fashion Week experience of Karen Walker and Margie Robertson and Liz Finlay, rather than going back further in time. And those designers in the early 70s, Kevin Bacan, Vinka Lucas and others, were doing amazing things in terms of fashion. Kevin Bacan did a world tour of fashion sponsored by Pan Am in 1971, you know, and people have kind of forgotten that.
It is quite a complicated, interesting, you know, story. There's a lot to it. That drew me to it as well. It's, and going to Glen Shee and seeing the farm, you know, I'm inquisitive because I'm a photographer, and you can just imagine what was going on there. I mean, the man was quite incredible.
That was dress historian and curator Jane Malthus and photographer Derek Henderson speaking to me about the new publication in association with Te Papa Press, Central Otago Couture, the Eden Hoare Collection. The book is now available to purchase at independent bookstores near you.